I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Surprise stabbings, crazed stalkers, broomsticks up bums. Neymar's life is like a soap opera. From punching Parisians to bankrolling his dad's orgies, welcome to the ludicrous life of Sao Paulo's most salacious son.
How about that from Neymar? Brilliant. Quite incredible from the Brazilian.
My name is Jack. I'm joined by Zach, as always.
Hello, Jack.
And we've got Mr. George Cooper with us today.
Hi, Jack. How's it going?
Producing and player-manager role today. Producing and starring.
Wearing many hats, spinning many plates.
Glad to have you, mate.
You're not doing the Brian Robson player manager look. You know, when he was unveiled as player manager and he came in wearing a suit on the top half and shorts and boots on the bottom.
He's like doing
kick-ups. What's your producer guest
sort of like
outfit?
James Bond with the scuba suit under the tuxedo. Yeah, ready to go. It's quite stressful because I'll keep an eye on a lot of stuff, but we'll see how we do. Just making sure everything's ticking over, like, right? Are we in focus? Like,
we'll okay, be fine. Guys, we are talking about Brazil's all-time leading goal scorer here. And it's strange. I mean, this is a guy who's won the Champions League. He's the most expensive footballer of all time. Why is he not beloved in the way that, like, a Ronaldinho is?
I mean, I think it is his success or his lack of success with the national team. Like, they have won the Copa America, but I think in Brazil especially, superstars are judged by their World Cup count, really. So the fact that Neymar hasn't ever really led his generation to that, I think is always going to be a bit of a black mark against him.
Mm, I think there's also the added, it's just not that likeable. I don't know what it is. He just seems like, he's not got the sort of endearing charm of a Ronaldinho or of those sort of Brazilian players of yesteryear. He just seemed, there's something, I don't know, I've never met the guy, but I feel like there's something a little bit sinister about him.
I mean, he dives a lot, like really egregious diving. He dives in pre-season friendlies in Japan. Isn't there a World Cup where he spends 14 minutes on the floor total?
Yeah, 2018, I think.
So there's that. But it's weird, you know, for the upshot, he's got all the ingredients of someone we love, and we often lament the loss of Brazilian stars like that, who basically are really skillful, they have a lot of fun, but they don't really care and they love to party.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head comparing it to Ronaldinho, because with characters like Ronaldinho, it seems so, like, playful, and he, even, I don't know, Ronaldo, Romario, people like that, who also had scandals, it always seems quite, it does seem quite fun, whereas Neymar's all like, sign NDAs and lock your phone in a room when you come over to his house, that kind of that kind of thing, which does just seem, he comes across as a bit creepy at times.
Yeah, like Ronaldinho is the sort of person that you meet at 6 o'clock at the pub, end up having a few drinks, you think this guy's fun, and then before you know it, it's 4 a.m. and you're at a nightclub and you think, how the hell did that happen? Whereas Neymar's the sort of person that you meet on chat roulette.
I was going to say sort of guy who like hits on the waitress or something when you're there. It's all a bit grim, but yeah. Well, we should probably go into this with a slightly more open mind than that, because, you know, this is a pretty wild story, and well, I guess you don't have to like him to enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm excited for this one. I know very little of the Neymar origin story, so I'm
we also need to be quite careful, because he does have a lot of absolutely rabid fans who will defend him to the death.
Yeah, we did a thread on Neymar about a year ago, and we got some truly unhinged replies from Neymar fans.
So there's one that said, why didn't you add the part where he scored for Brazil and came back from injury to fight for his country? Can't blame you. You might have forgotten those while you were busy pulling out from your mother's ass. and then here's another good one. It said, fuck yourself. Are you so free to talking shit? Just leave him alone. He is great, spelt G-R-A-T-E, and giant and incredible enough. No need to waste your time to fight him, vomit emoji. And that is from an account called Precious Neymar. At Neymar Precious.
So quite just, Gollum vibe about yeah. that, isn't it?
I just can't imagine what is going through people's mind when they set up their Twitter account with the handle Precious Neymar. Like, how can you do that with a straight face?
Yeah, I mean, generally those fanboy accounts, as they're known, are just always pretty unbearable, but entertaining for us. But yeah, he does have this like legion of hardcore fans who will defend him. So yeah, tread carefully, guys. Precious Neymar will get ya. Right, Zach, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, let's do it. So Neymar grew up in Sao Paulo. His dad was actually a professional footballer as well, played in the sort of lower leagues and was never really that successful. And they grew up in, I don't want to say like a favela, but it was a pretty rundown neighbourhood of Sao Paulo. He was always really close with his younger sister, Rafaela. I was reading a bit about her, and apparently when she turned 16, she legally changed her surname to Beckran because she was such a big David Beckham fan. It's like a tribute to him, yeah.
Why not Beckham? Why Beckran?
I don't know, yeah.
Does that mean, maybe that means something slangy?
Yeah, could be. But yeah, quite weird. They have a very strangely close relationship. Well, I say strangely, maybe it's just a loving brother-sister relationship, but he has a huge tattoo of her face on his arm, which, as much as love my siblings, I will not be getting their faces inked onto myself. Neymar grows up, he's obviously playing football for a really young age, plays a lot of futsal and beach football as well, and joins Santos when he's pretty young. But already from his like teenage years, there's quite a lot of hype around him. So when he's 14, Real Madrid fly him over to Spain to train with them for a month. But he in the end opts to stay in Brazil. When he's 17, West Ham put in a £17 million bid for him. And they go pretty far in negotiations, but Santos want 25 for him. And West Ham are feeling a bit cheap, so they go for Frederic Piquion instead.
God, which, they should have got about 120 million return on that.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't age well, that decision.
Can't imagine Neymar at West Ham.
I know.
At Upton Park. I don't know, you could have
him and Mascherano and Tevez.
True.
They're
a bit sort of tougher.
Yeah.
It's like Neymar being managed by Alan Pardew.
What might have been? Around this time, his family decide to sell a 40% stake in him to this quite shady investment fund that's run by a local supermarket tycoon. I see, it's quite a weird idea, this, just like selling part of his like sporting rights. It's like it's literally like he's a piece of meat that they're just, you know, selling off. There's actually a wealthy group of Santos fans club together as well and buy another 5% stake in him.
So presumably that's like image rights, all the money that he makes as salary.
It's not salary, it's a percentage of his future transfer fee.
Right. Oh, so they're buying it from Santos, kind of thing.
Yeah. Right. So it's basically an investment. They think that he's going to be sold at some point, and they're going to get.
Yeah, I think it's banned now, isn't it? This approach, because that's Tevez Mascherano thing. That was part of the drama, wasn't it?
Yeah.
That some random group owned the rights, and
it does get messy later.
Yeah. Seems to open up a bit of a can of worms.
Neymar especially.
It causes some trouble. Get into it a bit, but obviously, if they're investing in him like this, they know that they've got a real talent on their hands. And he begins to star for Santos from about age 17, 18. In 2011, they win the Copa Libertadores. It's actually the first time that they've won it since Pelé played for them in like 1964. And Neymar, that season, scores 42 goals. He's like incredible. He also, though, is developing his reputation as being a bit of a stroppy git and a diver as well. But there's one game where Santos get a penalty, and their manager, Dorival, who's just been appointed Brazil manager, actually, he decides that another player should take this penalty. And Neymar, like, loses the plot, has a huge strop on the touchline. He's like arguing with the manager. The linesman ends up having to intervene to calm him down. And after the game, Doraval comes out and says that he wants to suspend Neymar. He wants to ban him from training for a couple of weeks. And Neymar obviously is pretty pissed off about this. And the club end up siding with Neymar and sacking Doraval. So he's already got this quite prima donna aura around him. But the word is out about his talent by this point, and almighty bidding war ensues between European clubs. Barca end up sealing the deal in 2013. They announce his transfer as €57 million, but the following year, Spanish prosecutors open an investigation into the deal. And this is a little bit dry, but bear with me. So it turns out that Barca actually paid €81 million for him. €40 million of that went to Neymar's family, and then I think directly back to like that weird investment fund. But Barcelona get charged with tax fraud. They're basically like concealing earnings. But more scandalous details emerge from that investigation, because Santos's president is interviewed at the trial, and he reveals that part of Neymar's contract included an orgy for his dad at a swanky hotel in Piccadilly in London. So the Santos president, he paints Neymar's dad as a real bastard throughout the negotiations. He said that, like, we met, I don't know how many times, I paid for like 200 coffees for him. He didn't even get his own coffee. And then apparently Neymar refused to sign his contract until his dad's orgy was complete. So I just love this image of them all like sitting around outside this hotel room with like contract on the table, and they're just like, yeah, I reckon the should be done any minute now.
Comes out in his dressing gown, yeah. Sits down, another coffee please.
Yeah.
And they're like, so are you done? He goes, give me 20 more minutes, just gonna have one more round.
Neymar's just sitting there, just like, well, it's not saying anything, just like staring into the eyes of the Barca director. Can hear a sort of thudding from the hotel room.
One of them's just tapping their foot. Yeah. Just
keeps looking at his watch.
Why is it in Piccadilly? I'm not going to name the hotel, but the hotel where it is, I'm pretty sure, has a reputation for being friendly to footballer orgies.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's got a sort of green light policy.
How did you find that out?
I just, you know, keep my ear to the ground on such matters. It's come to my attention that they do
good. Anyway, with Neymar's dad's sexual desires finally sated, he can get back to what he does best and has a decent season at Barca. It's a little bit disappointing they don't win any trophies apart from the Spanish Supercopa, but he begins to form this potent partnership with Lionel Messi. So when the 2014 World Cup rolls around, hopes are high in Brazil. It's obviously they're hosting this tournament, and Neymar is their like certified star. And he does really well at that tournament. He scores 4 goals, looks really dangerous throughout it, but he's injured in the quarterfinal against Colombia. Pretty nasty injury. Remember, this Colombia player kneed him in the back, and I think he broke one of his vertebrae. It's pretty rough.
He was out of the tournament.
He was out of the tournament, which turns out to be a bit of a blessing in disguise, because he misses probably the most humiliating match in Brazil's history. Probably, I was thinking about this, it's probably the most humiliating result in football history. I can't really think of anything that came close.
It was definitely international football.
Yeah, which is obviously the they lost 7-1 to Germany in the Maracana. I remember watching that game and it just getting to the point where it was like, this is actually painful to watch. Like, you can't even really laugh anymore. They're already dead. Yeah.
And they were acting like they were definitely going to win the tournament.
Yeah.
Well, it was a bit of a weird tournament, because do you remember that loads of the fans didn't want it because it cost loads of money and they didn't want the Olympics either. So there was like already a bit of a bad mood around the campaign.
Yeah. But I don't know. Once they started doing well and Neymar was on fire, it seemed like they had this sense that it was destiny that would like fire them to the tournament.
Yeah. I mean, that's
which probably made them quite complacent in that game against Germany. And I mean, also Germany were just really good.
They also just didn't, at half time or whenever it was, once they were like 4 goals down, they should have just cut their losses and been like, let's just shut up shop and make this not humiliating. But instead, they were still attacking quite a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a bit of tactical analysis from a game that was 10 years ago.
Won't be making the cuts.
Nope.
But anyway, back at Barca, things are on the up, because that summer, Barca signed Luis Suarez, which is kind of the final piece in the jigsaw for them. And that season, they're unbelievable, unplayable. They win the treble. Messi, Suarez and Neymar score 122 goals between them, which is a record, a Spanish record anyway, for a front three, which they actually break the following season, I think. They get 130 something. But they're just like, the three of them together are just dream team. And around this time, people also begin to notice a bit of a strange pattern that around the 11th of March, Neymar is always suspiciously injured or suspended. And the 11th of March just happens to be Rafaela's birthday. So for 7 out of 9 seasons from 2013, he's either injured or suspended for that date and manages conveniently to attend her birthday party in Brazil.
Oh, they're ones where he literally gets booked like the game before and is ruled out. Yeah.
If you could prove that, that's... You could get banned for football for that kind of shit, can't you? Getting suspensions on purpose.
Yeah, I mean, you'll definitely get banned by your club.
Yeah.
Or they're just on board with it. I've even seen players joking about it. Like when Sergio Ramos was still at Real Madrid, there was talk of Neymar joining Real Madrid. And Ramos was like, yeah, I'd love that. Although we'd need to work out how he could still go to his sister's birthday every year.
It's mad. This is a man who had it written in his contract that his dad should have an orgy in a Mayfair. Yeah. You'd think that he could, if he really wanted to, he could get that in his contract.
Yeah.
For the 11th of March, I'm sorry, lads, I'm not available. Yeah, wait, how do you draw the line at that, but you go ahead with your dad's orgy? I don't know.
Well, yeah, he still goes to his sister's birthday.
I'd love to see what that's like written in legalese, the orgy.
Ronaldinho had a nightclub clause in his contract.
Yeah.
Supposedly Bez from the Happy Mondays had actual drugs on a written rider. It was like, and I will require like a gram of heroin. I don't know if a gram is a lot of heroin or not, but I mean, that's Bez.
Yeah.
Who's enforcing that contract in court?
Is that not fairly standard for rock and roll?
I think it is. It's just like, what, are you going to take them to court if you don't get your heroin?
Because there was that famous story that Grace Jones demanded 10 grand's worth of coke in her rider, and it was just a blanket thing that got sent out no matter what the gig was. But then famously the Conservative Party tried to book her for the conference and then received that, just like, there, yeah, we will do the conference, however, on the following condition.
You'll be working on my standard terms, I assume.
I don't know, I reckon there's quite a lot of that going around in the Conservative Party.
Yeah, they'd have some links.
Yeah. Anyway, by the 2016-17 season, Neymar's beginning to seem a little bit unsettled at Barca. He's stropping about quite a lot in matches. There's this one incident where he pushes an opponent down the stairs after a game. And there are rumours going around that he wants out of Barca. He's getting pretty tired of constantly being in Messi's shadow, and he basically wants to win the Ballon d'Or, and he thinks he can't do that for himself at Barca. According to Xavi, Neymar breaks it to his teammates that he's going to be joining PSG at Messi's wedding in Rosario. Which, like, I'm just imagining like Messi and his wife up there giving their speeches, and everyone's like really tuned in, trying to listen, and Neymar's just elbowing them, being like, guys, I'm going to PSG. It's like, I get that he wants to step out of Messi's shadow, but like, give him this day at least.
Yeah, is he a bit of an attention seeker? He likes to be the main man, even at his friend's wedding.
Yeah. But he does do that. So 2017, he joins PSG for 200 million. It's a world record fee. It also looks like there were some, let's say, dodgy dealings in that transfer as well. So in January of this year, 2024, the French finance ministry was raided over alleged bribery and influence peddling within the transfer. So the allegation is that PSG and their like Qatari owners were given very favourable tax breaks by the French finance ministry in order to push this transfer through. So it seems pretty crooked.
And they raided the finance ministry.
They raided
police.
The police raided the finance ministry.
That's like Jeremy Hunt being fucking brought in for questioning for like trying to get Jude Bellingham to join City. That's mental.
It's weird how entwined PSG and is with French politics.
Yeah, like Mbappe, Macron talked Mbappe into staying at PSG, didn't he?
Yeah, and then you see a couple of weeks ago, Mbappe and Nasser Al-Khelaifi, the PSG president, were having dinner with Macron at the Elysee Palace, and Khelaifi stuck around for peace talks on a ceasefire in Gaza. It's just
didn't keep Mbappe for that bit. No. Do you want to sit in on this one, Killian?
I don't know. I guess this is what happens when a club is owned by a state. Basically, yeah. It becomes quite useful to have them around the table at political discussions.
Blurred lines.
Yeah.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Anyway, back on the pitch, it goes well for Neymar at PSG. So in his first season, they win the treble. Not the actual treble, but the domestic treble.
Right.
They win just the French trophies, which for them is par for the course. And Neymar's also named Ligue 1 player of the season. He also really throws himself into the celebrity lifestyle in Paris. He throws these huge birthday parties every year. So 2019, he does a red-themed party. So all the guests come in red. Seems like a bit of a strange party. There are loads of ping pong tables and a basketball court, which seems more like a youth club.
Yeah. Really, and doesn't he have like break dancers and BMX tricksters? It's like, are you 12? Ping pong tables and stuff.
Imagine lots of like party rings.
Yeah, exactly. Lemon slices. Also, everyone's always like, Neymar's parties, they're wild. But like, are they wild or are they like, what?
Our guest for the Julian French Aron, football episode, Julian Aron, he went to one of Neymar's parties. Yeah. He wouldn't really say what happened.
He's NDA'd up to his bollocks, that's right.
But
he got smashed at table tennis by Marco Verratti.
Well, that's why he doesn't want to talk about it.
Oh, you should have seen Marquinhos on the, on the air hockey.
The following year, he has a white-themed party, so everybody turns up in white outfits. It looks quite tacky. The guest list is basically, it's like all of his teammates, loads of like B-list influencers, obviously his sister's there, and significantly his recently divorced mother Nadine flies over from Brazil. And Nadine's like, you know, she's mingling with his teammates, politely endures a lecture on 4-3-3 from Thomas Tuchel, when she spots a chiseled younger gentleman lingering by the buffet, and this gentleman sidles over, this like gold-flecked caviar dripping from his fingers, and he introduces himself as Thiago Ramos, who a 22-year-old video gamer and a close friend of Neymar. And despite their 34-year age gap, Nadine and Thiago hit it off right away, and they begin a bit of a whirlwind romance. I think he's wooing her with his Fortnite kill stats. And by Easter Sunday, they've made their relationship Insta official. And to begin with, Neymar's pretty happy about this. He congratulates them on Instagram. But quite quickly, rumours begin to swirl that Thiago is bisexual and has been having an affair with Neymar's chef. To begin with, though, Neymar's not too bothered, and frankly, he's got bigger fish to fry.
But wait, hang on. So this guy, Thiago's his mate.
Thiago's his mate, yeah.
Well, when we say mate, we mean sort of like he's in his like weird circle.
Yeah.
Banging a chef in the background while Neymar's gaming. And he's a gamer as well,
he's
Thiago.
A gamer, yeah. I think he's like a sort of gamer, streamer. Whatever.
22 years old, and he's now going out with his mates 46-year-old mother. Also, when they announce it on Instagram, she captions it, "The inexplicable cannot be explained. Just live it." So what was that even mean? A running theme with Neymar and his family is that, like, they do these real, like, just like vapid Instagram quotes like that. That just mean anything. Just means I am banging a guy half my age, banging my son's junior friend.
Deal with it.
And one of the headlines at the time I remember is everyone was saying Neymar's stepdad is 7 years younger than him. I mean, he's not his stepdad; he's his mum's boyfriend, but
yeah,
he kind of is.
Mm. I saw this. I watched an episode of this absolutely trashy American reality TV show the other day called MILF Manor.
What channel was this on?
It was very funny. I can't remember. It was on Daily Motion.
Began with a nine.
Yeah. Pornhub.
No. So the concept is that there's these older women who say that they like dating younger men, and they go on this dating show, and it's a bit like Love Island kind of thing, that they're on this like villa in Mexico, and they have to like hook up with these younger guys. But at the start of the show, this screen is pulled up, and it's revealed that it's the younger guys that are there are all their sons.
Oh my God. So
it's these like, it's very weird, very cringy, but also like you're completely transfixed by it. Yeah. It's like these mums and sons are like hooking up with each other in front of each other. It's like,
that
really
sounds amazing.
Weird. Yeah.
It's a bit of a departure from your usual diet of German cinema, is that? Yeah. Film noir. MILF Manor. And that is basically what Neymar's experiencing. He's watching one of his mates who he thought was having a gay relationship with a chef is now, shagging his mum. But he's supportive.
He's supportive to begin with, yeah. And he's got bigger fish to fry, frankly, at this point. So he gets into a bit of a spat with a teenage Erling Haaland. So there's this Champions League tie, PSG are playing Dortmund. And before the game, I think we talked about this in our Haaland episode, before the game, this fake Snapchat image goes around. It's a picture of Haaland captioned, "Paris, my city, not yours." And it turns out this is fake. But the PSG players are completely riled by this, and they end up winning the tie, and at the end go onto the pitch, and the entire squad poses doing Haaland's, you know, this like Zen meditation pose that he does. They all do that, which is just very lame.
Neymar does it when he scores as well.
Oh,
it?
True. Yeah. Neymar does
He's
that.
Leading that.
Yeah.
And how old's Haaland at the time? Like,
Haaland's 18. Just like getting.
And don't they also up. They upload a picture of them and they're like, "Our city, not yours."
It's, yeah.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, it's very PSG. It's why you never win anything.
Yeah.
You never win the Champions League. But that season, they come as close as ever to winning the Champions League. They get to the final and lose to Bayern. It's that weird COVID year when they do that like mini tournament, the semi-finals and the finals in a week. And obviously there's no fans in the stadium, so it's a bit shit, but they lose anyway. And anyway, Neymar's not too bothered about COVID or any of those silly rules, because New Year's Eve 2020, he commands his minions to arrange a 5-day party on Brazil's Costa Verde. It's just up the coast from Rio de Janeiro. And this party is dubbed Neymarpalooza.
What does that translate as?
It's like an American thing, isn't it?
Like Lollapalooza, the American music festival.
Oh, got you.
They quite often do that for parties in America, don't they? Palooza.
So after arriving at Neymarpalooza, his guests were forced to sign NDAs. They also had to hand over their phones, which were kept in a locked room. So Neymar obviously seems like he wants to keep this party pretty under wraps, but there's one fatal flaw to his plan, which is that he's decided to invite along a bunch of fame-hungry influencers and D-list celebrities who, frankly, would flog their own kidneys for a cameo on Celebrity Bargain Hunt. And very quickly, news of this party gets out and Neymar gets a lot of stick for it. Actually, last year, one of the guests, a transgender influencer called Sophia Barkley, finally decided to cash in her chips and claimed that she'd had a threesome with Neymar and a surfer called Pedro Scooby at this party.
Pedro Scooby.
What part of Brazil is the name Scooby? Hang on, so her allegation is that she had a threesome with Neymar and a famous surfer.
Yeah, exactly.
So something aside of him that I can get on board with is he's quite sort of like sexually liberated, I think.
Metro.
Sort of, and beyond. He's quite futuristic in his I don't know. Something about that.
He's open-minded.
Yeah. And also, it's a relief to hear that his parties do include some actual shagging after the fucking table tennis tables and the party rings at the White Party.
BMXs.
I did actually read about the White Party that there were two floors and he had all the people with wives and girlfriends, all his friends, were on one floor. And then on the ground floor was all the single people, which I slightly read as like single people and possibly guests who had been given a financial incentive to be there. But apparently the toilets were on the ground floor, and I can't remember which PSG player it was, but he said his wife wouldn't let him go to the toilet because it would mean going down to the single floor.
It was Ander Herrera, I think.
Yeah, it was Ander Herrera, yeah. Who then got caught curb crawling in that park in Paris, which is known for sex workers.
Yeah.
So yeah, don't worry about the white part.
He's got previous. Yeah. We could see why his wife was a little bit suspicious. The following year... Do you remember Neymar posted this weird picture where he seemed to be joking about drinking his own jizz? He posted this picture of himself, captioned, "My mother asking for grandchildren and me swallowing them like yogurt."
Yeah, I was a bit confused by the caption, but then like the Brazilians say it's like a meme about drinking your own jizz, mainly posted by like women, I think, and then he just posted it. It means I drink my own cum.
Yeah. Like, what is that like? A metaphor for anything, or is it meant to be taken?
I think it's a joke that some Brazilian women posted on Insta, being like, basically, like, my mum's asking me when am I going to have kids, but I'm just like sucking dick, basically. But Neymar posted it. I have to say, he's the sort of bloke who tastes his own juice. Again, sexually liberated. Yeah. I'm not knocking it, but do you know what I mean?
No kink shaming at this point.
I don't think there's any limit to what he would try sexually.
Is he ever publicly? I'm sure I would have heard about this, but he's not ever publicly been seen dating another guy or...
I thought you were going to say drinking his own cup. No, all we've got is a transgender influencer saying she had a threesome with him and Pedro Scooby.
That's the only evidence.
Maybe, but...
What's Pedro Scooby got to say about it?
Pedro Scooby's been very tight-lipped.
Mm. Busy surfing.
Yeah.
Too rad to care.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if it's all this cum glugging. But
too much MILF manner for you, mate.
I'm not sure if that's the trigger, but later that year, a crazed evangelist clutching Bibles scales the wall of Neymar's mansion, claiming that he's there to heal him. He's arrested for that.
Good.
Thankfully.
Doesn't he want to like place the Bibles on his body or something?
Really, yeah.
Yeah. You're not familiar like with this form of healing? Is this in Brazil or Paris?
This is in Paris, I think.
Right, yeah. Yeah. The Bible bashers are the least of his problems around this time because Neymar is back in Paris, kicking back in his mansion, you know, lying on a chaise longue, flicking through his DMs, hitting up Insta hotties, when suddenly his phone buzzes with the news that has rocked Brazil, and that is the news that Thiago, the toy boy, has been hospitalised.
Oh, shit.
So what we know is that one night, Nadine, Neymar's mum, her neighbours are woken by the sound of loud arguing and the sound of glass breaking, and so naturally they call the police, because they're like, something's up. And soon, Thiago is stretchered out of the house with blood pouring from a nasty gash on his arm, and he's taken to hospital where he has 12 stitches. Obviously, this gets everyone wondering what the fuck's going on. The official story is that there was a domestic accident and that he slipped, fell down the stairs and put his arm through a window by accident. And Neymar is actually in a press conference the next day, a football one, and he insists publicly there's no problem. He just sticks with the party line. It was a domestic accident. But privately, he is fuming. And the reason we know this is that he makes a phone call to a group of friends and someone secretly records it. And on the call, Neymar reveals that Thiago actually punched a window in anger during a massive row with his mum. And he says he's really angry with his mum because she lied to him and claimed it was this accident. Apparently, it's not even possible that he fell. The window's too far from the stairs or something. Anyway, and then Neymar starts turning on Thiago. So on the call, he brands Thiago a viadinho. And him and his friends joke about shoving a broomstick up Thiago's bum, which is quite sort of like medieval homophobia, I think. So they're really leaning into this idea that Thiago is bisexual, and obviously they're a bunch of homophobes. So they're angry with him about that. They're angry with Neymar's mum. Unfortunately for Neymar, one of his pals leaks this audio to a Brazilian news site. I don't know how many people are on the call. He does just seem to spend his life like on Twitch with like 50 people, and it gets leaked all the time. So
yeah, I get the feeling that the people Neymar picks for his friends are not the most loyal.
Yeah, we're including Thiago in that. Yeah. And his chef.
Yeah, true. So
now Nadine and Thiago are like this big tabloid sensation in Brazil because it's just a bit of a like, what's going to happen next? And I guess I was trying to think like, what is this equivalent of? And I think like Neymar is sort of a Wayne Rooney character in Brazil where like his private life is like ridiculous. Loads of really weird shit. He's a really good player. And things never quite happen for him on the pitch. But there's just all these ridiculous scandals. However, it's a bit more mad in Neymar's world, even than Rooney's. And after his Viadinho comment and his threat to shove a broomstick up Thiago's bum, which I should say, the threat is made by someone else on the call, and Neymar laughs along and is like, yeah. Anyway, this attracts the attention of an LGBT campaigner called Agrippino Magalhães, who reports Neymar to the police for his homophobia. And Agrippino, or Grippers, as we're calling him, he says, Grippers McGee. He says to police that Neymar wants homosexuals to be, quote, impaled alive. So I feel like the broomstick thing kind of takes on a life of its own.
Yeah.
Is he saying he wants them impaled?
Yeah, sort of Transylvanian connotations. Mm.
I was actually reading a book about Romania recently, and there was a lot on Vlad the Impaler, who's probably the most famous impaler.
Oh yeah.
And I always thought that you got impaled. Yeah. I always thought you got impaled through your stomach, like perpendicular, but actually it would be up the bum. And
yeah,
they wouldn't, because they wouldn't sharpen the point so that you die more slowly.
Ooh, brutal.
Yeah. Because I'd rather be impaled through the stomach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, where does the impaling come out? Your head?
Probably mouth? I don't know. Maybe it doesn't even come out, but it goes up into your gubbins. Not pleasant. So you can see why Grippers is distressed by this suggestion. Although I think he's maybe pushing it a bit further. Clearly Neymar's been homophobic though. Anyway, with Grippers' lawsuit on his hands, Neymar actually has bigger problems back in Paris. So he lives in this wealthy Parisian suburb called Bougival, which is, it's wealthy, but it's quite sort of sleepy and calm. So you can imagine these elderly, rich neighbours don't take too kindly to these busloads of influencers coming for Neymar's parties, you know, sort of like samba dancing to the door, Neymar answering the door in a white robe and probably with an erection. Glass of his own jizz in hand. They're getting pretty annoyed about it. So neighbours say, we are infuriated. And actually the town's mayor gets involved. And the mayor brands Neymar a prodigiously annoying, disrespectful individual who doesn't give a toss. Which is pretty accurate.
Yeah. I love the term prodigiously annoying. Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah. So they're all fuming, and these parties apparently are just like all night, it keeps happening. They're like, what do we do? So the mayor's like, okay, I'll talk to the landlord. So he contacts the landlord, and the landlord goes, don't worry, I'll sort this. I'll talk to Neymar's dad.
Like, that's the last person. Yeah.
He's probably the one setting up these orgies. Any other dad, I could see it, but Neymar Sr. is not going to be too helpful on the front. And I think at this stage, I mean, we're sort of talking, what, 2021? Like, Neymar he's partying hard, and his era as a, you know, Ballon d'Or contender is starting to fade. And actually an insider at PSG says it's starting to affect him in a footballing sense. They say, Neymar hardly trains anymore. He arrives in a sorry state, almost drunk. Neymar is in a spirit of revenge against PSG. And so I was thinking, like, what went wrong? And then I realized, or I read, this is the era where Mbappe arrives and there's a new king in town. Mm. And they really don't get on that well. Like, so apparently Mbappe turns up and, you know, Neymar left Barca to get out of Messi's shadow and to be the main man. And he is at PSG for a bit. And then Mbappe comes, and Mbappe is, you know, he's French. He's intelligent. He's like very eloquent. He's fucking friends with Macron. He's the golden boy suddenly. And Neymar's this party animal. Also, Mbappe is kind of taking over as the new force as you know, one of the stars of world football, and they really don't get on. And apparently Neymar gets particularly annoyed when Mbappe says that South American football isn't as good as European. And soon there are two camps at PSG. There's the French players and then there's the South Americans, and Neymar and Mbappe are kind of leaders of these rival factions.
And it's like prison.
It does sound a bit like prison, especially the drinking your own cheers.
I was thinking West Side Story for some reason.
But there's even, you know, stories keep leaking that they hate each other. And then Mbappe is caught on camera during a game. Neymar loses the ball and you just see Mbappe go, that tramp doesn't pass to me. So like they're starting to really fall out. Meanwhile, there are more problems for Neymar back in Brazil because after months apart, Nadine, his mother, decides to give her toy boy a third chance.
And he's back.
Yeah, Thiago's back, baby. And so to try and, you know, win her favour once again, Thiago flies his much older girlfriend to Cancun in Mexico for a 5-star break. And one night, the two star-crossed lovers head out for a romantic meal and they're sort of, you know, leaning in to kiss each other over the candlelit fish tacos, margaritas in hand, when suddenly three men burst into the restaurant and they stab Thiago. And we know this because the troubled toy boy goes straight to Instagram, naturally, and posts a video after the attack. And he's still covered in blood. It's all over his face and neck. And he says, "I almost died for something I didn't do. I don't know what happened. This is not going to stay the way it is. I have the number of the person who did this, and I am going to return to Mexico."
Shit, it wasn't Neymar's boys, was it?
Well,
I had a hit on him.
That was my theory.
Broomstick in hand.
Bring that burst in with broomsticks.
Pinned him down.
Yeah, I don't know what, because again, him and Nadine do break up again after this. So I don't know if the suggestion is that it's like honey trap.
Oh, wow.
Well, I want to know.
Nadine's in on it.
What is, I mean, Nadine seems like a lovely woman, but what's so special about her that is worth getting like stabbed in the neck over? Like, why is he so obsessed, Thiago? Mm. Is it, here's my theory. He's in love with Neymar and they had a secret affair and Neymar doesn't want people to find out and is now trying to kill him. Could be. That's a conspiracy theory that is definitely not true, but you
or is
know.
It, or is it just a rival gamer? doesn't want him to break his Fortnite kill streak.
Lads from a different COD clan. Pissed off that he's got a better avatar than them.
Yeah. Hope to steal your skin.
Yeah, they are taking it quite far. Anyway, this is pretty dramatic. You know, as for Thiago, he's like just a, for Neymar, he's an unwanted old turd that just can't be flushed. So after all this, Nadine cuts ties with him and Thiago goes on some reality TV program, sort of, you know, a sort of MILF mansion, if you will, called Fazenda. And he gets kicked off for assaulting someone. And then when he's kicked off, he says to the producers, "Well, I want a taxi home." They're like, "Yeah, fine, just fuck off." And so they give him a cab and he's like, "Oh, I want to go to the suburb of Sao Paulo." And they're like, "Okay." And he gets them to take him to Nadine's door where he like bangs on the door and is like, "Nadine, let me in."
Do you still think the cameras are rolling?
I think he's probably got Instagram Live going on knowing Thiago. Anyway, Nadine does refuse this time to let him in, I think possibly at Neymar's behest. So she doesn't let him in. And after that, people post on Instagram these pictures of him just wandering the streets of Sao Paulo barefoot. We're looking at one now. He looks quite distressed, Thiago.
Yeah, it's sort of breakdown territory, that, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, and so the press at this point in Brazil, I've been reading a lot of Brazilian tabloid archives. They say that Thiago and Nadine are finally finished. But New Year's Eve this year, just gone, both of them shared updates on Instagram and eagle-eyed fans spotted that they're in the same room. Because the furniture is the same. And this has happened a couple more times since then. Mm. So, and Nadine was not at Neymar's most recent birthday party. She was with Thiago.
Really?
So I think it's still, by early this year, I think it's still simmering.
Yeah, that flame's still lit. Good luck to them. Mm. I wish them many happy years together.
I'm not sure they'll get them.
Quiet, retired years in the Sao Paulo suburb. Yeah. No.
Somehow I think that's not gonna happen. Anyway, back in Paris, PSG's squad harmony is at an all-time low. Messi is signed again, so Neymar's back in his shadow. You just think, he's just, oh, fuck.
Always the bridesmaid.
Yeah. And he's really not getting on with Mbappe as well by this point. So when the World Cup in Qatar comes around, Neymar's probably looking forward to seeing some teammates who actually like him. But as always with Neymar, things are done in extremes. And he's a little unnerved when slightly clingy Spurs striker Richarlison whips off his shirt to reveal a huge tattoo of Neymar's face on his back.
This is so ridiculous.
So before the World Cup, this is, you think maybe after, but before the World Cup, Richarlison gets this tattoo of himself, Ronaldo, Nazario and Neymar, which is just very strange.
Have they ever been in the same room, all three of them?
I don't know. But Neymar finds this pretty weird. There are rumours going around, I don't know whether this is true or not, that Neymar sent Richarlison 30,000 euros after the tournament to get his face removed.
I love the idea of he just receives the money and the payment reference is just get rid of it. Yeah.
But also then Richarlison's back would just be like half filmed, just still him and Ronaldo, like, there.
Yeah,
just like,
could you turn Neymar into Heung-min Son for me, please?
So the World Cup goes pretty badly. They get knocked out in the quarterfinals, and at PSG as well, things are not so rosy. They're as far off as ever from their Champions League dream. So last year they were drawn against Bayern in the knockout stages. They lost the first leg, and in an interview after the game, Mbappe kind of tore into his teammates a bit and then ended his interview by saying, okay, like, we just need to eat and sleep well and be ready for the second leg. Neymar's response to that was to stay up all night at a poker tournament and then post a selfie from McDonald's at like 3 a.m.
That is a pure fuck you, isn't it? You've been told to eat and sleep well and you stay up all night.
It was the night of that first leg in Bayern as well. So they flew back from Munich. Everyone else is like, Mbappe's had this go at them, so they're all just like, all right, just like head back home, get a good night's sleep and be in for training. Neymar goes from the airport straight to a poker tournament and then to McDonald's.
It made me like him a little bit more. It made him that little bit more relatable. I've seen the photo of him at McDonald's and he's just like posing.
I swear there's daylight coming through, isn't it? Like 6 a.m. I swear he does a timestamp, I might imagine.
He looks bleary-eyed.
Has anyone else started to really like him?
He's winning me over, slowly. Yeah,
kind of. He doesn't give a fuck, it's fun.
He's definitely not winning over Mbappe, though. No. And a few weeks after that, there's a game, they have a big sort of face-off in this game. Mbappe misses a penalty, and they're then awarded another one later in the game, and Mbappe's their penalty taker, so he goes to take it, and Neymar takes the ball off him, insists that he's going to take it. He does score, but after the game, they have this huge confrontation in the dressing room. They're like screaming abuse at each other. They clash heads, apparently. They're throwing boots and kits at each other. Their teammates have to drag them apart. The Champions League second leg against Bayern as well doesn't go to plan. So they're knocked out. And for the rest of the season, PSG's fans boo his every touch. And it all comes to a head when the ultras turn up outside his house chanting, "Neymar, fuck off."
What is up with PSG? It's just, it's got to be the most toxic football club on the planet. Yeah. They turned on Mbappe recently as well, haven't they? They told him
he's leaving,
he's going to Real Madrid. But
yeah, I mean, they turned on Messi. It's weird though, it didn't work. Like, you think Mbappe, Messi and Neymar, despite the ages of the latter two, should still be like unbelievably good, and it didn't work.
Mm.
So I get why the fans are fucked off. It's like, why are we spending all this money on these guys? And Neymar does give a bit of an impression of not giving a fuck.
Mm. Mm.
Him and Messi get more shit than Mbappe at that point, don't they?
Yeah, I don't know, because Mbappe's been stringing them along for a while as well, like flirting with Real Madrid every summer, but I don't know, I think because he's the sort of hometown hero and he's like the France captain and blah, blah, blah. So I think they sort of are a bit more patient with him. But
it is a horrible club.
Neymar,
horrid. Anyway, so they're marching through Neymar's wealthy suburb of Bougival.
Yeah, I don't know how that went down.
Do you think the neighbours are like, we've been up all night from his fucking orgy and now the ultras have turned up for the morning shift. Just fuck off. They're probably in the crowd chanting fuck off.
Yeah. Joining in.
They actually weren't ultras, they were just
his neighbours.
Bougivalians. The mayor.
Yeah. But anyway, his relationship with his teammates and the fans has pretty much deteriorated beyond repair. He also skips their title celebrations that summer to go to another poker tournament. So I think he doesn't give a fuck now. No. He's decided that he's off.
Yeah. Well, anyway, he does fuck off to Saudi in summer 2023. He finally goes to Al Hilal. I mean, it's a bit sad for a guy who was going for the Ballon d'Or at 31 to suddenly be, you know, selling out to Saudi. But he's getting 150 million euros a year, which everyone always says, like, oh, it's so greedy. But there is this thing with South American footballers where they're supporting, like, dozens, maybe even hundreds of people.
Mm.
So I kind of get it.
Dozens of Instagram bodies.
Surfers. So I kind of get it. But going to Saudi, it's obviously a big step down. And actually, the week that the Champions League is restarting in Europe, Neymar should be, you know, off to the Bernabeu or the Westfalenstadion to play one of the giants of European football. Instead, he's playing for Al Hilal in the Asian equivalent of the Champions League, where he's lining up against the likes of Igor Golban and Tumurkuja Abdukolikov as he takes on Uzbeki runners-up Navbahar Namangan. So yeah, it's
a big headline acts there.
Yeah, it's, you know,
drawing in crowds of literally hundreds.
Yeah, yeah. And actually that game they only managed a draw, and I think Neymar gets in trouble for booting the ball at an opponent, so it's all a bit sad. And it must be a particularly weird experience for Neymar's Al Hilal teammates, one of whom is Salem Al Dorsari, who you might remember as the guy who scored the winner against Argentina in the World Cup.
Yeah.
And he's like an Al Hilal legend. He's been there a decade. He's a World Cup hero for Saudi. But when Neymar joins, Al Hilal win a penalty and Dorsari goes to take it, and his own fans boo him because they want Neymar to take it. Oh. They just all turn on him completely.
Oh, so gross that, isn't it? Yeah.
It must be so weird. Like, you've got all these Saudi players, and then I was looking at the Al Hilal squad. They've got like Neymar, they've got Mitrovic, who actually, when Mitrovic joins Al Hilal, the fans unfurl a banner which celebrates the fact that he was the joint top scorer in the European Nations League. Second tier, by the way, the B tier of the Nations League. They've got like a massive banner being like top scorer. You know, you get what you can when it comes to accolades.
42 goals in the championship.
Blue Peter badge winner. You'll never sing that. So I don't know. It's all a bit strange, Neymar in Saudi. He seems to be one of the players who's adapted to life quite well there, because I think
he's quite suited to it, really.
Yeah, he's, as long as he's in his compound and his Insta hotties can land on the helipad and just march straight to his bedroom, I think he's happy. And actually his family seem to quite enjoy it as well. So his sister Rafaela seems to be particularly impressed by the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia's unique cocktail of low taxes and bloodthirsty repression. Because she and actually Neymar too become big cheerleaders of Brazilian strongman Jair Bolsonaro, who was the president. But Bolsonaro lost an election recently, and there was a, you know, like the storming of the Capitol in America, that was basically like an attempted coup. And Rafaela has been accused of helping organise the coup. Supposedly she wired money to the plotters, which hasn't been proven. Rivaldo was also implicated. A lot of Brazilian footballers love this Bolsonaro guy, don't they? I don't really know much about him, but he's a...
Sadly, I think Ronaldinho does as well.
It's because
that was quite gutting.
Lula, who got in, is previously lost office for corruption. So there's a lot of people who are very, very against him. He's left, I believe. But yeah, I was meant to go to Brazil that weekend.
Really?
And then my whole trip got cancelled because of the quote-unquote political unrest. I got family in Brazil as well, so I texted them being like, is everything all right? And they were like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, sort of standard in Brazil.
Business as usual.
Yeah, business as usual.
Neymar leading an army of Insta hotties towards the Brazilian parliament.
Insurrection. Or insert erection. I just love this image as well of like Rafaela's like really admiring the political model, and like all the family have arrived in Saudi and his mum's like cooing at the tiger cubs he's been gifted. His like Uncle Zhao is trying the local food, and then Neymar's dad's just like, do they still have harems in the Middle East? Each of them's just admiring a different aspect of Saudi culture.
I could get used to this.
Anyway, yeah, I don't know if Rafaela did wire money to Bolsonaro's plotters or whatever, but I don't know much about the story, but she is accused of it. It's a big scandal in Brazil. And then there's another big scandal in Brazil around Neymar, when he just randomly, out of the blue, issues a public apology to his girlfriend, Bruna, who is pregnant, and Neymar apologises for cheating on her. It's quite a long, again, it's that sort of like fortune cookie, like vapid phrases apology. It's a lot of like, our love will conquer all, which is like quite a weird way of you know, apologising for having a threesome with a surfer.
What is it with footballers and sort of public apologies for being unfaithful? Because you got Carl Walker this side of the Atlantic, but I surely that's like matters for behind closed doors.
Why?
Like why publicly?
He says Neymar in his apologies, like, I've already said this to you privately and your family, but I think I should publicly. So I don't know.
That's very as per my previous email.
Yeah. I'm sorry if you felt offended by my cheating. I mean, yeah, he does apologize properly. I think her sister, Bruna's sister, is quite critical of him in public. So maybe he's trying to hit back at that, but it is a bit of a surprise, because it's an open secret in Brazilian football circles that Neymar and Bruna have an understanding that he can cheat on her as long as he obeys three golden rules, which are...
Sounds like a healthy relationship.
Rule number one, always wear a condom. Valid. Rule number two, no prostitutes or strippers. And rule number three, no kissing them on the mouth, which I guess she doesn't want it to feel like a romantic betrayal.
It's just a transactional...
Yeah, but at the point at which you're like, well, you can do it, but please don't kiss them. It's like, I think he's already betraying you.
I will say, it doesn't really feel like these were clauses made by Bruno.
Yeah. Well, do you think they're just like concessions?
Yeah.
I mean, the condom one, yeah. Weirdly, I think surely sex workers is less of a betrayal because it's just like transactional, especially if you're not kissing.
Mm.
I don't know. Sounds like Bruna maybe isn't that happy to stick with the rule because they have broken up now. But she's having his baby. She might have even had it by now.
And Nadine will finally get her grandchild.
Yeah, she will get her grandchild.
They've all been drunk.
Unfortunately, she might get a little bit more because you're probably wondering what happened to Tiago.
Yeah, where's Tiago in all this?
Well, Tiago...
He's the real
star.
Star of this story.
Tiago, Nadine's former toy boy, has turned to the dark arts. So, according to Brazilian press, a Brazilian priest has revealed an alleged conversation where Tiago asked him to perform a love spell that will make Nadine take him back. This was last year. So I guess around the time of their like New Year's dalliance... He basically wants this, a Pai de Santo. I think that's some sort of priest. And he Instagram DMs him and the priest just screenshots them and sells them to a tabloid, which is not very fucking Catholic, I don't think. I love how trashy this celeb culture is in Brazil that like even priests are like screenshotting Insta DMs. Anyway, he says that. And then a spiritualist center claim that Tiago walked in and offered them a, quote, very large reward for them to destroy Neymar's family and make Nadine take him back. He's really committed.
Wow.
He must really love Nadine.
Conspiracy is starting to ring true, Jack. Wow. There's a lot of signs pointing to this. There's something more to this tale.
Yeah. Is that going to win Nadine back?
Thanks for destroying my family.
Destroyed my family.
Now you're all I've got. I mean, Neymar is out injured with a cruciate injury, so I don't know if that's the dark arts at work.
Tiago's just there with his Neymar voodoo dolls. Putting pins into his knee.
There's a good line in that story where it says, the spiritual center, however, reported that it does not carry out this type of work. So we're mainly sort of like a food bank. We do Sunday mass, mate, but we're not gonna curse your older woman's family. And actually, most recently, so I think even this year, if you want the absolute latest on Tiago and Nadine, Tiago popped up on Instagram, where else? And he branded Nadine a fucking traitor and a, quote, saint of the hollow dick. Which I think might be a phrase that doesn't translate that well. I thought, does that mean like dick tease? But apparently it means sort of like hypocrite, like holier than thou. Saint of the hollow
Is that
dick.
From the same church that priest originates from? Yeah.
Is he the patron saint of hollow dicks? Yeah, apparently it sort of means like you're a hypocrite. I don't really know why. So it sounds like they're not on speaking terms. But with Tiago and Nadine, you're never far from a rapprochement. And that is the latest on Neymar and also his fucking mental family. So yeah, I think like with that story, I have to say I slightly warmed to the guy. But there is a sort of like tackiness about him that's just quite off-putting. But, you know, you can kind of see why he's not talked about in the same breaths as like Roberto Carlos or Ronaldinho.
I think you touched upon it quite well in the fact that he's always playing second fiddle to someone. And then the one place in which he was the star, which was the Brazil football team, he's never achieved the heights that would immortalise you.
He's probably got one more World Cup in him. He's 32. And when's the next World Cup? 26. So 2.5 years. Yeah, I think he'll make it.
I doubt it's going to be the Neymar World Cup though, is it?
Well, like Messi's, it could be. I'm really starting to root for the guy. The Tiago World Cup. He's only about 26.
That's true.
Yeah, well.
Wild ride.
Yeah, I feel like I need a shower after that. Yeah. All right, well, thanks. I hope everyone enjoyed that trashy ride. Thanks a lot for listening. Thanks, George, for joining us.
Oh, thanks very much for having me.
And thanks, Zach.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel, a pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.